This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I'm going to be preaching a message to you this morning entitled No Limits. Someone say No Limits. And I'm asking you to preach with me, and we're excited about it. You know, there is a river that flows from God, and I am in faith believing that we're going to see more healings this year than we've ever seen. Amen. We're going to see more deliverance than we've ever seen. We're going to see more moving of the Holy Spirit than we've ever seen. We're going to see more demonstration of the Holy Spirit and His power than we've ever seen before. And and in that there's also a preaching flow that we can get into, teaching flows we can get into, to where that people are healed while the Word of God is being taught. Amen? While they're healed and delivered while the Word of God is being preached and being taught, even during worship. So every aspect of our time together is a supernatural time to encounter God. Amen? And God is so good in that. So have the switch of faith turned on, and let's believe God for some good things this morning. So again, the title is No Limits. Someone say No Limits. No limits. With God, there are no limits. No limits to how good God is. No limits to His love for you. No limits to what He can do for you. Let me pause real quick. How was your Christmas? Was it good? You get enough tamales? Or whatever it is that you ate. We had a great Christmas, and we're believing God. Going to be an incredible, incredible 2018. So this message is really going to help position us for the next 2 or 3 weeks that are going to be very, very significant in the life of Celebration, and you'll see why as we enter into those weeks. But this word will position us for limitations to come off of our life and to live in the life that Jesus has provided for us. If you believe it, you can say amen. So no limits to God's love for you, no limits to what God can do for you. Come on, how many of you found that to be true? Amen? He cannot be exhausted. God cannot be used up. He cannot be overwhelmed. There's no such thing as asking God for too much, because He is a big God. The Bible says, Ephesians 3:20, He is able. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can think or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can imagine some things. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says God is so big, He'll do above it. And so God is big, and so He is able to do it. You cannot exhaust God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, or God's faith. He is inexhaustible. Come on, somebody. There's no limits with Him. So God wants His children to live without limits. No limits to how great your marriage can be. No limits to how greatly God can use you and use your family. Somebody say amen. No limits on how much God wants to bless you financially. Hallelujah. No limits on how much God wants to bless you emotionally or physically. No limits to how big your dreams can be. Come on, is there any faith people in the room? No limits to the fulfillment of those dreams in your life. No limits to how big your prayers can be. If we're not careful, we start praying small prayers because we're moved by our experience and not by the magnitude of our God. But God this morning is saying, I'm still God. Hallelujah. It's almost insulting to the greatness of God not to pray huge, audacious prayers. A dream so big that it is laughable to quote-unquote sensible people. This is part of the Christian life, and it's part of who God is. In fact, one of God's names is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Come on, somebody. You like to have Jesus at your house every day of the year, but especially on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Come on, somebody, you know. This is why the Bible says that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Jeremiah 32:27. And then it says this in Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. This is the God that we serve. The enemy always tries to put limitations on us. He will try to limit. He will try to box you in. He will try to close you in. Because he wants you to live a very limited, small life. He wants to limit your potential. He wants to limit your impact for God's kingdom. He wants to limit your enjoyment, your fulfillment in life, how much purpose you fulfill. He wants to close you in as small as he can because he wants you to have no impact and he wants you to have no enjoyment in your life. He is a thief. He comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. So the enemy's trying to put limitations on you. God has taken the limitations off of you. Okay, and so this is why we're the Lord put this word in my heart. How many of you know that years back they begin to put these what they call governors on vehicles that and then vehicles that could go over 100 miles an hour they would put a governor on the vehicle, and what it did was it would keep the vehicle from going over 100 miles an hour. And I was with a friend who was a bit of an idiot. Hallelujah! Excuse me. Going fast when I was young was fun when I was driving. But when I realized that this dude that I was with had been in several accidents, and he's, hey, man, we got to test it, man. We got to see what happens if we go 100, if the governor's going to kick in. I'm like, it's on the vehicle, bro. It's going to kick in, you know. But he's going, and I'm like 18 years old, and I quickly found out that I'm not going to ride with this dude anymore. But it's a brand new truck, and he's flying down the highway, and he reaches up close to 100 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, boom, like the motor makes this noise that I'd never heard of. I've never experienced it. And all of a sudden, I thought, Jesus, take the wheel. You know what I'm saying? and all of a sudden, the motor shut down, and then about 20 seconds later, it kicked back on, and you know, we kept driving. So, okay, that was it. But the governor was there to limit how fast the vehicle could go. So you could say the governor would not allow the vehicle to reach its full potential. And you may not understand it, but the enemy tries to put governors on your life. He'll try to put a governor on your marriage, a governor on your prayer life. He'll try to put a governor on how much you read the Bible. He'll try to put a governor on your finances. Someone ought to, you know, come on. Am I talking? He'll try to put a governor there because he doesn't want you to reach your full potential. He'll try to limit what you can do. But God sent me with a fresh word from heaven to tell you the limits and the governors are coming off. Hallelujah. Amen. To where we can begin to live life without limits. And so God gave me some fresh insight and revelation on how to take the limits off of our lives. You could say four keys to removing the limitations off of our lives. You can open your Bible, if you have them, to Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. And we find that it reads like this. Verse 27, then Jesus departed from there. Two men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Notice that, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Verse 30, I love this. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. The miracle took place. And then Jesus said, see to it that you tell no one. And if you continue reading, the Bible says that they could not hold it in. They went and told everybody. And so within this, I feel like the Lord gave me four keys to removing limits that we see. These men demonstrated their faith and had the limitation of blindness removed from their lives, that we can see the limitations upon our lives, or that we've faced in life, we can see those limitations removed from our lives. Does that sound good to anybody? So here we go. Number one, the Bible says in verse 27, it says, two blind men followed him. How do blind men follow anything? Right? How do blind men follow anything? They must have had to get close enough to Jesus that they could hear the slightest movement, and they were close enough to touch him, so they followed him wherever he went. One thing they knew, I've been blind all my life, but my new eyes are found in him. And so these men got so close to Jesus that they followed Jesus wherever he went. They followed his movement. When he moved, they moved. When he stopped, they stopped. When he got up and moved again, they would as well. And the first thing that God said to me about removing limitations from our lives is that you must pursue Jesus. Come on, not pursue becoming rich, not pursue success, not pursue popularity or fulfillment, but he said, no, you need to pursue Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It sounds to me like when I seek Jesus, when I seek God, stuff gets added unto me. My life gets bigger. My life gets better. All these things shall be added unto you. You're not added to when you do your thing. You're not added to when you try to work harder. You're not added to when you try to get smarter. You're added to when you seek him. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. I have found out, church, that when I start seeking God, all of a sudden the new house is programmed to follow me. Favor's programmed to follow me. Financial increase is programmed to follow me. So as I'm seeking Jesus, all of a sudden here comes stuff following after me. I'm not seeking the new job, it's following me. I'm not seeking favor, it's following me. I'm not seeking a fresh anointing, it's following me. Because when I seek him first, I get added to. The Bible says when you come to God, hallelujah, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says seek him while he may be found. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to find somebody whose hearts are loyal to him, who is seeking him. When you seek him, you will find him. When you seek him, he will manifest himself. And when he comes in the room, his limitlessness starts to rub off on you, and you go, I can make it. I will make it. If God be for me, who can be against me? When you seek him, you find him, and all of a sudden you begin to look more like him than you do you. Hallelujah. You've got to seek the Lord. The Bible, so God told me the first thing to limitations coming off. Come on, you guys remember this. You guys remember this. When you started seeking God, you got saved. And you go, my God, some of us got saved. We didn't get saved in a larger church like this. When we got saved in a church with a beat up, just beat the brakes off a piano, got cut, scraped, you know, from when the pastor's kid like me was, you know, hitting it with all kinds of stuff because I had nothing else to do. I was always at the church. I was at the church when I wanted to be at the church. I was at the church when I didn't want to be at the church. I was at the church when people died. I was at the church when people got married. I was at the church when we were eating lunch. I was at the church all the time. So don't judge me because I beat up the piano. No, I'm just playing, you know. Right? I mean, some of us were saved in small churches with a little beat up brown piano up in the corner with a mic shoved in it with a big old red thing stuffed on the end of the microphone, you know, because it would keep, you know, you come on, anyone know what I'm talking about? And I mean, we didn't have all the music, we didn't have all the life, but something happened when we said, Jesus, come into my life. I need to take some of you down memory lane, and I need you to remember when you called out to the Lord and he reached down into a miry pit and set your feet upon a rock, and all of a sudden you experienced the joy of your salvation, and tears begin to come down your face and your arms begin to go up, and you didn't even know why, because you found out, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And you... Come on, is there anybody in here who was lost, but now you're found? Hallelujah. And so you would seek him. You would go to prayer meetings with 3 people, with 4 people, with 5 people. You would go home and read your Bible. You would listen to worship on your way home, because you found out, if some of Jesus is good, more of Jesus is better. I'm going to make a lifestyle of seeking him. And when you started seeking him, limitations started falling off of you. Come on, depression started falling off of you. Addiction started falling off of you. Limitations came off when you began to seek him. Hallelujah. Number one. You got to pursue Jesus. I wonder if some of us have let that slip, if we've stopped seeking Jesus and seeking God the way that we should, because life gets busy and there's a bunch of different elements. But man, listen, the Bible says really life all comes together when you start seeking him first. Someone say, seek him. Number one, pursue Jesus. The second thing that I see from this is found in verse 27. They said this to Jesus. They said, they started following Jesus, and then they cried out. They said, Son of David, have mercy on us. What they were really saying is, you are the Messiah, because Son of David is a messianic term. In other words, they're saying, you're not just a good teacher. You're not just a good man. You're not just a prophet. You are the Son of God. You are Messiah. You are Lord. And all of a sudden, that began to shift the situation in their life. So number two, you got to call him who he is. Oh, man. There's something so powerful about identifying God in your life for who he really is. Call him who he is. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good shepherd. He's not just any of those things. He is Jesus, the Son of God. He is Alpha and he is Omega. He is beginning and he is the end. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the bright and morning star. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Shammah, your peace. Shalom, your peace. He's Jehovah Shammah. He is Jehovah Rophe, your shepherd. He is God. Listen, he is Jesus. In other words, to me, he's not just a good teacher. To me, he's not just a good man. To me, he's not what splits time. To me, he is God. He is Messiah. He is Jesus. You got to call him who he really is. To me, he is baptizer. To me, he is savior. To me, he is deliverer. To me, he is healer. Come on. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the bright and morning star. He is the soon and coming king. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is Jesus. Somebody, if you believe he is who he said that he is, someone give him some praise in here this morning. You got to call him who he is. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is. And so when you call him, when you say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are my healer. Come on. The church is not my healer. The pastor is not my healer. Jesus, you are. When you start calling him who he is to you, this is why Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say a prophet, some say a teacher. And here he got real. He said, but who do you say that I am? Because it matters who you call him to. Come on, is he your healer? Is he your, to come on somebody. In some of my most intimate times of prayer, those things will come up out of my spirit. God, you are my deliverer. Jesus, you are my healer. Come on, somebody. When everything else, the music's not there, there's nobody else there to pray for you, it's just you. And come on, Jesus, you are my healer. Hallelujah. You got to call him who he is. Number three. In verse 28, it says, Jesus said to the blind man, do you believe that I am able to do this? And the third thing that I see here is, number three, someone say believe. Yeah, you got to believe God. Tremendous power is released when you choose to believe and act on God's word. Mountains are moved when we choose to believe. Limits are destroyed when we choose to believe. Depression leaves when you choose to believe. Come on, somebody. Sickness has to go when you choose to believe God. Poverty has to leave your life when you choose to get in faith and believe God that he's your provider. These things leave when we choose to believe. There is power in believing. I could preach here for like maybe 5 or 6 years. Hallelujah. Because there's so much wrapped up in this word believe. Our whole Christian faith comes because I believe in Jesus. You believe your way into the kingdom of God. You believe your way out of sickness and into health. You believe your way out of being lost and into being saved. You believe God that he is your provider. The Bible says you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth and you are saved. So the way I got into the kingdom is the way that I must live in the kingdom. So believing God is the way that you and I are to live. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Hallelujah. When you're believing God, all that matters is what God said about it. I like this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Hallelujah. So in other words, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You say, well, I'm believing God for my family to be saved, and they're acting crazier than ever. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. All that matters is that God said you and your household shall be saved, and I choose to believe. Is there anybody in here that you know what I'm saying? I got to believe even when it doesn't look like it's happening. I learned to shout while the walls are still standing. I learned to praise while it looks like nothing's happening, and because you believe, all of a sudden heaven comes down and hell has to leave. There is power when you believe. Someone say believe.
Jesus said in Mark 11:23, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever things that he says. There is mountain moving power when you believe. There is demon casting out power when you believe. There is sickness evicting power when you choose to believe. I wonder, am I talking to any believers in here this morning? That's about four of you. Are there any believers in here this morning? I believe that he shall meet all my needs according to his riches in glory. I believe I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I believe if God be for me, who can be against me? I believe no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. I believe he gives his angels charge concerning me to guard me in all of my ways. I believe though the arrow flies by night and the arrow flies by day, it shall not approach me. I believe with long life he shall satisfy me. I believe that when I pray, heaven hears me. I believe that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. I believe that when I ask, hallelujah, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. I believe that when I seek him, I'm going to find him. I believe that when I ask of him, he's going to answer me. I believe that when I knock on the door, that door is going to open. I'm knocking on the door to more and the door is going to open. Is anybody ready for a 2018 with doors open like never before? I prophesy doors of prosperity are being opened. Hallelujah. Doors of healing are being opened. Doors of the move of the Spirit are being opened. Is anybody ready to believe? Hallelujah. 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 I believe. Somebody shout, I believe. Shout, I believe. I believe he took my sicknesses, he carried away my pains, and by his stripes we are healed because he loves me. I believe he sent his word and he healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. I believe the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me, and he quickens my mortal body with life-giving power. I still believe, Adam, that the anointing destroys every yoke and removes every burden. I still believe the Holy Spirit speaks and gives me utterance to speak in other tongues, and that when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I build myself up in my most holy faith. I still believe that when we pray, we make tremendous power available. I still believe that when I praise, hallelujah, walls come down. I still believe that when we praise, jail doors still get shaken, shackles still fall up. I still believe that because I'm a tither and I'm a giver, that the blessing of God is upon this church, that the blessing of God is upon this people. Are there any other believers in this place? Hallelujah. Come on, I feel faith beginning to arise. I still believe that 2,000 years ago, there was a baby born in a manger, and he lived a sinless life. Hallelujah. And he never sinned, and he never made a mistake. And on the third day, he had been crucified. He had been beaten. They put stripes upon his back. But on the third day, Ryan, he got out of the grave. Hallelujah. But in those 3 days, he went down into hell. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. He defeated Satan and all of his forces, and all of a sudden he arose with all power in his hands. I still believe he is the soon and coming king. I believe he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I believe there's fire in his eyes. I believe there's a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. I believe the word of God is inherent. I believe it's infallible. I believe it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe he watches over his word to perform it. I believe heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word remains forever. Does anybody still believe in him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We still believe. Hallelujah. This is why the devil spends his time trying to discourage you, distract you, and get you into doubt and fear. Because he knows if they stay in faith, they are unstoppable.
No, 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 no. Come on, don't miss that right there. He knows this. He doesn't know everything, but he knows some things. And he knows if a believer believes, having done all the stand, having done all the stand, God, why hasn't it changed yet? Having done all the stand, God, we haven't seen the breakthrough yet. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Come on, I feel the prophet rising on the inside of me. We're going to be just like Mary. There shall be a fulfillment of that which was spoken to her. Is anybody ready for some fulfillment? Hallelujah. I sense in my heart, God is saying, those of you that have given up on certain prophetic words, on certain things you've been believing for, God says, pick your faith back up. It's not too late to believe again. And if you will believe again, hear me, we're going to start seeing some fulfillment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm telling you, I sense stuff being stirred up, and it's good. It's good. Amen? You sure can tell when God comes in the room. Amen? I mean, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. But then when he begins to manifest himself, how do you know there's measures of his presence? I remember one of the things that has always drawn me like a moth to a flame. Catch that on the way home, I guess. I don't know. I said that one time, and my wife goes, what does that mean? I go, well, moths are drawn to flames. She goes, I don't get it. And she's smarter than I am. She's a 4.0 student. I never was in that crowd, if you know what I'm saying. But it's always drawn me because we should walk in a tangible presence of God. You know what that means, tangible? It means when you come around some people that have been in the presence of God, you can tangibly sense the presence of God on them. And you and I can walk with that tangible presence of God upon us. Amen? Book of Acts, they said they knew that these were unlearned men. Unlearned, uneducated men, but they knew they had been with Jesus. There's hope for me and you. Hallelujah. Whether you're educated or uneducated, smartest guy in the city, in the nation, or not so much, you and I can live in a manifest presence of God. We heard stories of Smith Wigglesworth, how he'd get on a train and sinners would cry out and fall on their knees and said, I'm a sinner. You convict me of sin. He didn't say anything. He just got on the train. And the presence of God on him brought conviction to sinners that were around him. Come on, somebody. So there are greater levels that we can walk in, and we will walk in Jesus' name, because we're going to live life with no limits. Come on, somebody say amen. All right. So again, the enemy will try to distract you, try to get you to, you know, he'll try to work in your situations, work in certain aspects of your life. And there is a place where you get to in God to where that his attacks simply bounce off the shield of faith. I know for me, it's not hard for me to see where I am in my walk with God and where there's work that needs to be done, because when attacks bother you more than they should, you know your shield of faith is not up. Okay, so we can have our shield of faith built up pretty good in the area of finances or in the area of healing or in the area of deliverance or in the area of our mind. But if situations in your life are bothering you, whether it be sickness, attacks of sickness against you or your family, or if it's finances, a tag just seems like you can never get ahead. What you need to do is you need to find scriptures on that area of your life. And you need to put them in you until the shield of faith gets built up to where when those fiery darts come from the enemy, they get stopped in the shield of faith. The Bible says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in the day of attacks. Amen? Come on, I said amen. And how do you do that? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, gospel shoes of peace, sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. It is all Bible knowledge. It is all truth-based that if I'm going to walk in my armor, I'm going to have to spend time in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what puts my armor on me. Bible says, put on the new man. Amen. Renewed in holy. Come on, somebody. In righteousness and in holiness. Come on. You got to put your clothes on every day. You're walking around naked, wondering why you're getting shot. Spiritually naked. You know what I'm saying? Not defended. Not clothed. Bible says, be clothed in humility. We know some of you ain't got clothes on. No, just prideful. No, I'm just playing. Oh, man. That was just jokes. But for real, but we should, the Bible teaches, put on the new man, created in righteousness and in holiness. There is something that we need to put on each day by getting into the Word of God. It's not a religious duty. It's how you walk in victory. All right? So that being said, it's huge that when you do that, you will allow and keep the limitations from coming on your life. So number one, how do you do it? How do limitations leave our life? Number one, you pursue Jesus. Number two, you call on him. You call him who he is. And number three, you believe. You believe God. You believe his word. And you stand on his word until you see what he promised come into your life. Amen? Number four, I love this. Verse three, I'm out of time, so this will be a quick one here. It says, verse 30, it said, Jesus touched your eyes and their eyes were opened. Number four is vision. In order for the limits to come off of your life, you must have a vision of a brighter tomorrow. This is a biblical perspective of what God has for you in your life. Okay? All right. So, Proverbs 4:18, I'll just prove it to you very quickly. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the Christian shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Notice it didn't say the path of the Christians gets darker and darker. Come on, somebody. But if we're honest, some of us are tempted to believe it's been getting worse. It gets better for a minute, and then it just gets worse. And so we're not excited about next year. We're not excited, or maybe some of us are excited for the first week until our New Year's resolution dies, right? And we paid $1,000 for a gym membership that you know good and well you're not going to use a week from now. The gym's always packed the first week of January. And then in February, it's just back to the faithful. You know what I'm saying? They just bought extra stretchy pants. You know, it's just all good. But New Year's resolutions don't work. They don't work because there's no spiritual power behind them. I'm not saying they don't work for anybody, but the majority of people, they don't work. So what I'm saying is you've got to have a vision from God that drives your everyday behavior. Listen to me. Olympians have a vision of a gold medal. That's why they don't eat pizza when you and I do eat pizza. We're like, have a good run, meet you at Little Caesars. You know what I'm saying? Hot and ready. I have a little bit more sophisticated palate than that, but my wife still needs to be saved, so she's going to go ahead and eat the $5 hot and ready. Hallelujah. Just kidding. It's just a joke. But you got to have a vision. You must have a vision. But if we're not careful, we let the situations of yesterday, today, and the last 6 months paint a picture of a darker tomorrow or of a tomorrow that doesn't seem like it's going to change. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? So you got to say, wait a minute, but the Word of God says that my path gets brighter and brighter. Other translations say better, better, bigger, brighter. I believe other translations say, they don't say just like that. But what the Word of God teaches us is that according to God in his timetable, in his word, one of the aspects of God's nature is that he doesn't start out with the best.
He starts out and it's good. But God, with God, it always gets better as you go. Right? The world says when you get married, game over. See, y'all know what I'm talking about. Ball and chain. You know, the whole thing that the world says, right? Your fun's over. It's like, what? You know what I mean? Come on. We got to get in the Bible. When I get married, come on, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. With Jesus. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that in there with Jesus. Some are like, my God, Jesus, take the wheel right now. I'm saved and it's hard, brother. Help me. You know what I'm saying? Come on, but it's not going to change with you saying, it's hard, brother. She's so crazy. She's so crazy. She beats the brakes off of me. She's so crazy. I don't know how I'm going to live. Listen to me. You can't have a brighter tomorrow with that as your vision. You've got to have a vision. You've got to have God's vision for what can God do with your marriage? What can God do with your finances? So the Bible teaches us that the reign of the latter house is always greater than the reign of the former house. That means the move of God that is coming is greater than the move of God that we've seen. Come on, somebody. Path of the righteous is brighter and brighter, better and better, bigger and bigger. And then the latter rain is greater than the former rain. I'm showing you part of God's nature for you is that your future gets brighter. But you got to believe it. You got to believe. We have to have a vision. For I came out of Bible college so convinced, my God, with God, my best is always yet ahead of me. Okay, now listen, I'll prove it to you one more time. Jesus shows up at the wedding, right, wedding, and they run out of wine. Jesus shows up, gives the instruction, performs a miracle, turns water into wine. There's so much preaching and revelation in here, but I'm just way past my time. And so they said, they come to the master of the feast after tasting the wine. They said, normally, they set out the best wine first. Then after all the freeloaders have gotten drunk. Oh, y'all. Come on, somebody. Y'all know those wedding crashers. They at the wedding for the food. You know what I'm saying? I'm so happy for you. Where's the food? You know what I'm saying? Come on, celebration. Right? You had to cut that list down from 200 to like 80 once you found out what the food cost. You're like, Lord, you know? And so they're there, and after everybody's freeloading and they got drunk, then they set out the inferior wine. They said, but y'all know those friends, right? You know those friends, you go to dinner, and then when the bill comes, they get T-Rex arms. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You go out to eat three times, like, that's enough. Cross them off the list, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to get, okay, oh, you got, oh, okay, you got it. You got it. T-Rex arms, you know? They got short arms and deep pockets. You know, can't never get. All right. So they said, but you, they set out the inferior one once everybody is well drunk. That's what the Bible said. Y'all need to read your Bible. I'm like, you're so carnal. It's in the Bible. It's not carnal. You just found yourself. No, I'm just playing. Here we go. And he said, but you gave the best wine at the last. Here's what happened. Jesus got involved in the situation, and the best was always last. Here's the point. With Jesus, your best is not behind you. Your best is still in front of you. Okay? All right. So with that being said, with that as the foundation of your vision, of God's vision for your life, how do you see your marriage in a year from now? How do you see your walk with God a year from now? Come on. How do you see the anointing upon your life? And how do you see your finances a year from now? Come on, somebody. How do you see your relationships a year from now? How do you see your successful, your fulfillment a year from now? Your impact for the kingdom of God. How do you see that a year from now? You've got, come on, are you with me? If you don't have a vision of it being bright and it being great because you're believing God to do it. It's not like, I'm going to believe myself to be better. I'm not talking about positive self-talk. I'm talking about, I believe God. And because I believe God is involved in my life, then I believe because of what his word promises me, then I believe my marriage is going to be more godly. It's going to be more anointed. It's going to be a sign. And come on, somebody.
Son, I don't want to. I believe my finances this next year are going to be greater than they've been, than they've ever been in my life. We serve a miracle-working God. Amen. So you start believing this, and you start finding the scripture. Now you say, okay, Pastor, I don't have that vision right now. I have a vision of wanting to kill this man. Not really. I have a vision of my marriage being broke apart. I have a vision of my family that's scattered. I have a vision because it's all I've known. It's all I've seen. You don't know where I came from. I understand those things. I understand you not having a vision. And to be honest with you, if we're all honest in this room, we have all had times where we did not have God's vision for our future in front of us. Because if we would have, hear me, if we have a vision, we stop making the wrong decisions. So if you don't have it, how do you do it? Here's what I know. When you read the Bible, when you listen to the Bible, when you worship and praise God, you are giving the Holy Spirit access, hear me, to paint a new picture on the inside of you. He is the artist of your imagination. Come on, somebody. That's good. That's so good. I've never said it just like that. He just gave that to me. The Holy Spirit wants to be the artist of your imagination because his paintings come to pass. His paintings come to pass. Why does the Bible say to cast down imaginations? Why does it say to cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Right? Casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So it starts with knowledge. Then it turns into a thought. Then it turns into an imagination. And the reason why the Bible says that to cast down the imagination is because the imagination turns into a stronghold. Stronghold turns into manifestations in your life. That's the negative way. What if we allow the Holy Spirit? Oh, Jesus. What if we allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to bring knowledge to us? That turns into a thought. I can be free. My marriage can be mighty in the kingdom. I can love my husband and wife with my whole heart. I can pray every day and love God and know more of God and want more of God. You start thinking. All of a sudden, those things turn into strongholds. Listen to me. How does it happen? Strongholds are there. All of a sudden, you begin to manifest outside what's been going on the inside. In other words, when you read the Bible, when you come to church, when you worship God at home, you'll get so much bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. It'll break those limitations off you, and it'll show up on the outside. Amen? Come on, I said amen? That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word of God all through the week, listening to podcasts all through the week, not just listening to the news or politics. Come on, somebody. But let the Lord paint a new vision on the inside of you. Number four, you've got to have a vision of a brighter tomorrow. Come on, have you received anything this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity very quickly to receive him. If you're here this morning and you've known Jesus, you've known the Lord, but you're far from him, you need to get some things right between you and him on the count of three. Either one of those invitations, I simply want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. One, two, three, lift them up. Thank you. Hands up everywhere. Thank you. 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 Anybody else? Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. I see that hand back there. Thank you. Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me. Yes. I see that hand. Yes. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for every hand, every decision being made for you. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from sinful ways and I turn to you. And I believe my best is yet to come. And with your help, I will live without limits. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. Come on, let's rejoice. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.